Okay, fantastic. We've managed to get hold of the CEO and founder of SAS, Michelle Potter. And it is this time of the week where we shine a spotlight on a local organisation doing important work in the community. SAS is a local mentoring organisation which aims to end social poverty by helping individuals, business teams and educational institutions and community groups to do good better. But how do they do that? Well, Michelle is here to tell us. Morning, Michelle. Lovely to have you on the show.
Morning. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolute pleasure. Give us a history of the organisation, please.
Yes, I will. I came to Cape Town from London in 2005 to do some volunteering. Used to be a football coach, and I came to coach football to children living on the streets for a few weeks, and they were connected to a children's home. And I discovered during my short stint volunteering that children or young people have to leave children's homes when they're 18 years old with no support. And at the time I was studying in London, and I was doing my education degree, and I needed a dissertation subject. So I decided to write a comparison between the UK and South Africa for young people leaving care. And I discovered that young people in the UK have a team of people from their local authority supporting them as they transition out of care to independence. But in South Africa, no, there was no support at all. But in both instances, they had to leave care when they were 18 years old. So I founded a charity in the UK to fund and support a charity here. And eventually, after not being able to find a partner to work with here in South Africa, moved to South Africa in 2008 and set up Say Yes here, and spent the first 18 months that I was here trying to work out how best to support care leavers. So I spent time volunteering at various children's homes. I spent time working, talking to young people who were living on the streets, who had lived in care and were now living on the streets. And while I was volunteering at the children's homes, of course, I had access to young people who were preparing to leave to talk about, and so I managed to spend time with them talking about their hopes and their fears. Also the childcare workers and the youth care workers and the social workers, to find out what, you know, historically had been happening and what their concerns were. And I also did a lot of reading about what other countries were doing. And when I came across one-to-one mentoring, that was the light bulb moment for me. I just thought, these young people need somebody, all of us, in fact, need somebody that we can turn to and rely on and believe and be believed and trust and be trusted by. And so particularly these young people who've been removed from their families by the courts because of neglect, or in some cases were orphans, but in most cases they were removed because of neglect. And I thought, well, that's it. It's obvious. So we launched into 2010 on a very small scale, partnering with a few children's homes, and we matched each young person with an individual. So it was one to one, and the mentors that joined us, that really wasn't much mentoring going on in South Africa at the time. So they were all, and still continue to be, most of our mentors have not done any mentoring before. But we put them through a really rigorous screening process because we want to make sure this is the right match for them as well as being the right match for Say Yes. And then training is about 18 hours long. It's a number of modules before they're matched with a young person. And a couple of years ago, we decided to go beyond the children's home. And now we work with high schools and community-based organizations and other nonprofit organizations working with youth. So we're basically serving young people, underserved young people aged 14 to 25, who are preparing to, who are transitioning either from school, from a children's home, from one stage in their life to another, and we support them with that.
We're chatting this morning to Michelle Potter, who's the CEO and founder of SAS, and they are an incredible local mentoring organisation, which began, as you've just heard, as providing support mentoring to children leaving care in South Africa. Michelle, I'm lucky enough, privileged enough to have a relationship with a young woman who spent most of her formative years in a children's home here in the Western Cape, and has now left an is in, I guess one might call it a sort of transition home situation. Mm. And the final year of her experience in the children's home was sort of getting her ready for that. But there was a lot of anxiety. There was a lot of anxiety from her. There was a lot of anxiety from those of us who love her as to how that transition would work. Because there is almost an institutionalization that happens when a young person is in a children's home. And for them to, while a lot of children in my experience who have been in children's homes are incredibly resilient and incredibly self-reliant, there is also a massive gap because they haven't always had that one-on-one support and that traditional, you know, the air quotes, parenting and familial relationship. Are you able to talk to us a little bit about some of the challenges for young people in that transition process?
So, I mean, looking specifically at the care leavers, which is not our only target group now, but they have to reintegrate into some sort of a community, and it might be that they go back to the community that they were taken from, where their family still is, or it might be that they have to integrate into a new community, and that's incredibly challenging, because if they're going back to the community that they came from, and even to the family that they came from, they've been living in a completely different area, going to school in a different area, made friends in a different area, they've had a completely different life.
Yeah.
To their siblings, neighbours and friends back home, their accents might even be different. And they might be better educated because perhaps the children's home is in Plumstead or it's in Weinberg and they've got access to better schools.
Absolutely.
And so fitting in for them when they go back home is incredibly challenging. And as an adolescent, I think adolescence is the most difficult time in anybody's life.
Yeah.
But to be an adolescent and to have been through all this upheaval and trauma, and then have to go back home and fit in, and it is incredibly challenging. Without any support, without somebody who's consistently there, hearing them talk it through, not telling them, no, 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 this is wrong, this is the way you must do it, but actually hearing what they have to say. And our mentors, very clearly their role is guidance, advocacy and support. And they do this through active listening and through perspective sharing. And that's how they support the young people they're working with and help them change their perspectives when they're sort of bogged down with negative thoughts, which we all are at different stages in our lives.
Sure.
But like I said, adolescence is so incredibly difficult and incredibly difficult for young people who've been through so much trauma. But yes, the reintegration is difficult. The lack of consistent support and guidance is difficult. The lack of, you know, the family conversations around the dinner table. How was your day? Have you got any homework? What do you want to talk about? You know, the children's homes do a really great job, but they don't have the resources to provide the sort of support that these young people, that every young person needs. Also, they don't have networks.
Yeah.
So social capital is really, really lacking. And that's one of the wonderful gifts our mentors bring. We have very clear policies and procedures around young people about mentors. Mentors are not allowed to give money or gifts. But
I wanted to ask you about that, because I wonder if there, and I'm sure that you screen for this, but I think sometimes it's inevitable. It's a bit of a byproduct of mentoring systems or any system where there is that type of relationship, that it can be easy to kind of slip into saviorism, dare I say it, and guilt, and I've got more, and therefore how can I make this up to that person? I'm assuming, and I want to talk specifically about mentors in just a second, but that there must be, that the training must be very comprehensive in that area, and the importance of boundaries also.
It absolutely is, and that's why our screening process is so, so rigorous. Mentors, well, what we used to do is we used to have presentations, group presentations, but since we switched to online a year ago, all our mentoring is done remotely, which is proving to be great, hugely successful, which we're surprised and delighted at.
Yeah.
But every mentor that applies goes through about an hour and a half session with our program director, Andrew Dellis, who's got a background in research psychology. So he knows the kind of people that we must find for this program and the kind of people that it's not right for.
Right.
And so they go through a sort of an hour and a half session with him, having already filled out a one-hour application form that he has been through and sort of pulled out any areas of concern that he will discuss during the one-hour interview session. Yeah. And then we screen, of course, we do police clearances and National Child Protection registers and collect references. And then the training is 18 hours, broken up into a number of different modules.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely, we have a no gift giving policy.
Why is that so important, Michelle? Because people might be listening in and saying, but I want to help. I want to help. And some of these young people may need that. What if they're in need? Why is that policy so important, so crucial?
Because it affects the relationship.
Yeah.
And the relationship has to be as equal as it possibly can be. Yeah. And the young person has to give in order to get. It's not going to help them. It's not going to support them. It's not setting them up for their future. The program is called the Transition to Independent Living. Giving them gifts and treats and taking them to lovely places just because it makes us feel good.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
Then it's really not supporting the young person. So we've got a very clear, structured program with a lot of support from our staff. But we're guiding young people towards independence through exploring their education and lifelong learning needs, their career and money needs, their family and community needs, their sport and recreation needs, and their citizenship and identity needs. And so we've got what we call an ITP, an individual transition plan. And three times throughout the 9-month commitment, the mentor and the mentee are meeting. They sit with our transition specialists, or they do it online, and they go through those different areas. And the young person is in the first session is made aware of their context.
Mm.
So they, you know, oh, I want to be a doctor. I want to be a pilot. Okay, let's look at this. Let's go through this ITP and let's look at your context. How's your maths? How's your studying going? Is this something you're really going to be able to get into college or university to do?
Mm.
Let's look at your grades. And they look at it together. Nobody says, no, look, you can't do this, because that's not going to help the young person. They've probably had enough of that throughout their life. So they must explore that together.
Yeah.
And realize that together. And then sort of, oh, well, maybe I can look at this instead. But the young people have to really be in the seat in charge of this thing. Otherwise, they have to be in the driving seat here. Otherwise, it's not going to be a success for them. So we encourage them. They also go through training. They also know about the boundaries and the rules and the no gift giving. They understand that, and that's what they sign up for. They don't want that.
Yeah,
they don't want it.
I just want to take a quick voice note that we've had that's come in.
Just tuned in, Sarah Jane. Love to ask this amazing guest what she has experienced in terms of cultural and traditional pushback, and also about competition between organizations, which I found was a particularly sad thing in South African services.
Thanks very much, Karen. Michelle?
So there have been on occasion some people have questioned whether a white mentor should be mentoring a colored or a black mentee, for example.
Yeah.
And we go through a process whereby the mentees choose their mentors.
Okay.
So the mentor goes through screening, then they go through training, and once they've been through those, if they're still in and we haven't asked them to withdraw because they're not the right match for us, and then the mentees go through a training process. We don't need to screen them. We just want to know if they're going to be around for the whole 9-month commitment.
Mm-hmm.
There's no criteria for them other than that they're in the age range and that they are perhaps linked to one of our partners or they have previously been. And so then we do some activities together where the mentors are really pitching themselves. So the mentors are on the hot seat in the vulnerable position, and the mentees are sitting
there.
It's
like Dragon's Den.
That's it. Exactly. So they're pitching themselves and they're kind of nervous, and it's lovely to see the mentees in this powerful position.
That's lovely.
And then they get to ask some questions about, so they might be talking about how their education was and how it served them. You know, maybe they failed in school, maybe then later on they went to university.
That's me. Yep.
Right. And so, and you know, how was their career, and what did they make the right choices? Did they have to change their mind? You know, have those sort of things. Are they an introvert, an extrovert? Have those things served them well, and how? So the young people get to hear all this great stuff. And then they get to ask them questions if they're brave enough.
Michelle, I'm so sorry to cut you off. I'm looking at the clock. I've lost, as I normally do, I've lost track of time. But okay. I do just want to give the website in case there's people who want to get involved, which is sayyesmentoring.org. sayyesmentoring.org. Michelle, what a treat to have you on the show. I could talk to you for hours. And thanks so much for the hugely important work that you're doing. Please come back, and when this COVID nonsense is all over, come into studio. We'd love to have you back as a guest.
Would love to. Thanks, Sarah Jane.